How's it going, everybody? Here to do a podcast talking about the state of art, but also talking about Avatar, because I just thought these two things were perfect, because I recently, meaning like 2 days ago, finished watching both Avatar, The Last Airbender, and The Legend of Korra. But after going through Avatar, it made me think of the M. Night Shyamalan movie from 2010. It made me think of the new Netflix, Avatar, The Last Airbender. And it also just made me think of the state of movies and pop culture and TV and just where we are right now. And I felt like Avatar would be a good vessel into that conversation. I will do eventually give a review, like a proper review for Avatar and The Legend of Korra. This is not going to be it, though. So, I will just say that. This is not technically my review for that, because there's a lot that I want to say about both of those shows. That's not what this is. Okay. Now that we're on the same page. There is so much depth in Avatar The Last Airbender. And, you know, I finished minus 5 episodes because I had watched... Excuse me. Ooh, that sneeze came out of nowhere. I'm going to keep that in the podcast because I was right in the middle of a sentence. I had watched 5 episodes of Book 1 like a month prior. And my ADD, you know, got in the way. I got sidetracked watching and doing other shit. And I didn't feel like I wanted to go back and watch from the very beginning. Because it wasn't like I hadn't seen Book 1. I had seen Book 1 before. I just didn't really remember it all that well. So, from like episode 5 or 6 in Book 1 to the end of Avatar, I watched. And then I watched Legend of Korra. There is so much depth in Avatar. And, you know, I knew the, like the rough draft, like I knew the gist of what Avatar was when the M. Night Shyamalan movie came out. But, you know, I never got the hate for the movie, you know, because I really enjoyed it. Am I going to sit here and defend the acting? Absolutely fucking not. Am I going to defend, like, some of the special effects in certain parts? Again, absolutely fucking not. But this is the movie I always reference when I say, look, I am all about having experiences. And when a movie hits me, I'm not going to pretend like it didn't hit me. I bought the Blu-ray of The Last Airbender for the last, we'll say, 15 minutes of that movie. From the minute Aang starts coming out, kicking ass, and then he goes to the bridge, and it starts playing the sweeping music from James Newton Howard, the Flow Like Water. Like, I bought that track from the soundtrack on iTunes when I was still working at the movie theater. And this movie came out because, like, this was the first movie that, when I was working at the theater, I got to do, like, a screening of it before it officially came out the next day. Like, me and my coworkers, we all watched it in 3D the night before. And because a lot of people were excited about it, you know, that had watched the cartoon. And, yeah, there's a lot in that movie that is not good. But I loved the last 15 minutes of it. I got a coupon in my email when the Blu-ray was coming out to get like $10 off. So that's what I did. I went to Walmart, And I got it. And I have the Blu-ray. I also have the movie poster from working at the theater. So it's funny, like ironic funny, that a movie I used to defend, kind of, it's really kind of undefendable, isn't it? It's kind of, I think the music is the only really good thing about it. Which is a shame because, well, no, that's James Horner. James Horner is the one who died. James Newton Howard is still with us. That score is really, really good. I will still stand by that. But, man, like, literally, it's almost like every 10 minutes is an episode of the show that they're trying to cram in there. It just doesn't work. It's bad. It's really bad. Now, granted, the other thing that I will say, that I've also said for years, because I do think it's fair, because some of the hate that M. Night gets for this movie, I don't think is justified. There's some of the hate that I do think is justified, but there's some of the hate that I don't, because I listened to an interview that he did a while back where he was talking about his experience making this movie, and the short version is he was just like, it was hell. But the one part of what he says that I really want to focus on is he says the budget was cut 3 times during production. Not once. 3. So it's no wonder this movie is shit, because he was making moves with money he thought he had, and then he had to change course again and again and again. So since I was not there on set, and I don't know how they went about making it and the process, how in what order they did, like, did they film all the stuff at the Northern Ice Kingdom first? Like, did they film all the stuff with the Earthbenders first? Did they do that? Like, you know, what order did they film everything in? I'm going to go on a limb and say they probably did all the stuff at the Northern Kingdom last, because I feel like that's a part of the movie where the special effects kind of suffers in some parts. Like when Zuko is in the ice, that, I don't know what that is, but that does not look like ice. I think in the scene where Zuko is going and saving Aang, that scene goes back and forth between, and I'm just talking about special effects, goes back and forth between, okay, that's not terrible, to being, oh my god, we're in a different movie now. So it's interesting. It's like, I feel for Shyamalan. However, there are other things that I can't defend. I can't defend Mr. Rathbone, Jackson Rathbone, or whatever his name is, playing Sokka. I can't defend whatever the fuck they did with Iroh. I don't really understand the whole desire of making the Fire Nation all Indian descent. But, you know, hey, you know what? We'll go with it. But you could still find somebody that's more Iroh-like than the guy that played Iroh. Because I really like him as an actor, but he's not Iroh. Also, what's with all the mispronunciations of the names? It's not Aang, it's Aang. And it's not Sokka. What the fuck is that? It's Sokka. Like, there are things like that I can't forgive. Okay, there are things like that that this doesn't make sense. M. Night, what are you doing? What are you doing, M? This doesn't make sense. Stop it. Also with the dragon. What's with the talking dragon? That I don't remember that happening ever in the show, in any of the seasons. What? Like, yes, there are dragons, but not that. This isn't fucking Neverending Story. This isn't Dragonheart. What? Like, this isn't Merlin. Like, what? I don't know. I don't get it. Honestly, I think that was just M. Night's way of, you know what, we got to get this exposition out there, and they fucking cut my production budget, like, way more than I was expecting, and we're just going to roll with this. We're just going to let the dragon be the person that does this for this movie, and if I'm right at all, then okay, fair enough, but I still don't like it. It's not good. But then you have, like, this Netflix show, and it's like, okay, it's better than the movie, okay? Because, I mean, essentially we're getting, like, 8-9 hours versus, like, the 2 hours or whatever we got with the movie. So, naturally, it's going to be better because we're getting more time with the characters. But we're also going from, like, 20 episodes to 8. Like, the fuck? Alright. Also, and, you know, it's funny because I didn't notice anyone mentioning this when the show came out. Like, as far as the people that have seen, had seen the cartoon. Like, bro, not only do they, like, skip over a lot of the great character development that's in the cartoon. Because, yeah, I mean, technically you could say they're side stories. They're not technically necessary, but they are character development moments. Like, moments where we're getting to know who Sokka is, and Katara, and Aang, and seeing that bond between them, like, grow. But the thing I didn't hear anybody talk about is they take elements from all three seasons and mush them into this. There are things that happen in season one of the Netflix Avatar that doesn't happen until season two and season three. So, and we're talking about, like, fan favorite moments and good moments and deep, meaningful moments to the story. And, okay, what are you going to do in season two now? I am virtually of the belief right now, the stuff that's good about season two, they really can't do anymore because they kind of did a lot of it in season one. And I'm very curious now how they're going to save season two. If I was the showrunners, this is what I would do. I would take what's good that's left of season two and mix that with some of the stuff in the beginning of season three. And you might be able to come up with a somewhat decent story to tell in season two. But then you're not going to have those moments in season three. And really, you're only going to get, like, the Aang being very distraught, worried about fighting, and, oh god, Fire Lord is scary, and, oh, here we're at the big battle. Oh, hey, show's over. So, I don't know. It's gonna, like, I don't know what their game plan is, but they've really written themselves into a corner. And I don't, like, fans already were not happy with season one. Honestly, as much as I did enjoy season one, I think they just need to throw in the towel. Because, and look, you know, I could be wrong. You know, even if it's not as good as the cartoon, maybe they could come out with something decent. All right? Because some of the criticisms that I've seen about the Netflix show, I do disagree with. A lot of people didn't like the kid that plays Aang. I fucking love him. I think he's adorable. He's my favorite thing about the show. Like, point blank. Like, he's the lead of the show. Like, to me, he really works as this young, innocent, juvenile kid who has the weight of the world on his shoulders. And I think he finds a great balance of playing Aang like how he was played by the young gentleman who did the voice in the cartoon, but also refining it for a live action setting, you know? And I can get, like, maybe for some people, maybe it comes off too, like, old Japanese movie-ish. And, okay, maybe, but it doesn't bother me. I think it works. I like it, you know? I grew to like the actor who played Sokka by the end. Still not really in love with him. I don't like the actress that they got to play Katara. But let me put a very big asterisk on it. It's not because of her. It's because I don't think they know what the fuck they were doing with her character. With what we did get of her, I think she did really good. But I think they took an important character in the cartoon and they really kind of dumbed her down a lot, in my opinion, based on what I saw on the show. Actually, I think if any of the characters are going to get served by the messiness of what Netflix has done, I think it could be Katara, because they are going to have to very quickly get her to that place where she's ready to battle Azula at the end with Zuko. So we'll see. We'll see. Which brings me to, I really like the actor that plays Zuko, and I really like, I'm not even going to try to say his name, Paul Sengun, well, I guess I just tried, whatever his name is, Appa from Kim's Convenience. I really like him as Iroh. Them two and their chemistry is, even though Aang is my personal favorite, I will absolutely agree with them two and their chemistry in the Zuko part of the story is the best thing about the Netflix show. 100%. I really like the bending and how it looks in live action. I really like the actors and the cast that was cast. The stuff with Bumi is a little interesting. Don't know that I would have made those same choices, but you know, here we are. I'm gonna have to go back and rewatch the Netflix show again after watching the cartoon, because I'm really curious on, now that I know what the story is, how I'm going to respond to it. But now that I've sort of touched on all of the Avatars a little bit, I feel like, I haven't talked about the animated Avatar that much, just because I feel like everybody knows it. It's an old cartoon by now. I mean, if you want to know some quick thoughts, I will say that I think it's one of the best animated shows ever. I definitely think it's one of the best anime. And don't give me this, well, it's an American anime. It doesn't count. Fuck off. It's anime. Whatever. I don't care what country of origin the art form comes from. It's anime. It's like someone sticking a burger in front of me and me going, well, that's not a real burger because only Gordon Ramsay serves real burgers. It's like, it's a burger. Just stop, okay? If it's good, it's good. Let's worry about whether it's good or not. The quality. Let's not worry about, like, where it comes from. That's stupid. I really loved Avatar. It got me emotional. I mean, it really was like Game of Thrones for kids. That's honestly kind of how I see it. I think there are some really important messages, some really great stories, some really great characters. It's just really fucking amazing. Which brings me to the overall thing that I really want to talk about, which is the state of franchises and the state of where studios are and things like that. And it's, studios want to make money, but they don't want to put the effort in, and they don't want to spend the money to do it well. And then they get these wild hair, crazy ideas that we as the audience don't want things, because by the time Netflix's Avatar is over, if we all walk away from it going, yeah, that was crap, instead of, hey, you know, by the end it actually got pretty good, if by the end we say, hey, yeah, this is, the whole thing was just not good, they're gonna go, oh, well, see, we tried to do a live action Avatar, you guys just didn't like it, but we did it. But we did it. It's like, yeah, you did it, but you did it half-assed. And that's not on the actors. That's on the studio. You know? Like, bring the same cast back. Film some random episodes and insert them in between the episode that you already have and extend this fucker, like, by 4 episodes. I think if you gave this show, like, 4 more episodes, You could fix the problems that I have with it personally, you know? But because my problems with the show, I mean, the problem that I see with the show specifically is how they took elements from future seasons and put them in here, and now I don't know what they're going to do moving forward. That aside, if we're just looking at what was done, I have different grievances with the show than I feel like other people do. I really like the actors. I would save all of them and bring them back. Because even the actors that are lower on the totem pole that I don't like as well as others, I don't think it's their fault. I think it's because of the way this show is being given to us. We need more episodes. We need more growth with characters. We need more world building, you know? We need that episode where we see Aang trying to fish, right? And that big monster attacks him, right? We need to have that episode where now I can't think of it. Now the seasons are blending together. I mean, it's like they gave us Secret Tunnel, and that doesn't happen until fucking season 2. So I don't know, you know, like I don't know. Secret Tunnel. But here's the thing, it makes me think about the Marvels. It makes me think about the second Aquaman movie, even though I haven't watched it yet. It makes me think of Doctor Strange on the Multiverse of Madness. And I hate saying that because I really enjoyed that movie too. But they are just rushed. They are not done with the precision, excuse me, that we've seen things be done in years past. Like, these studios are getting lazy. And then they wonder why we're not going and spending money. And things like that, when it's like, well, prove to us that it's something worthy of us spending our hard-earned money on, you know? Like, Dune Part 2 was phantasmagorical. It was orgasmically good. Like, if I had the finances, I would probably go see it at least 2 more times before it leaves the theater. But I want to see Civil War. There are other movies I want to make sure that I'm able to see. So I can't do that. And so I am one of those people that, like, I have to be smart with the funds that I have. Because if I choose to go see Dune again, I might not be able to see something new that I want to see when it comes out, you know? So it's just one of those things where it's like, and also with all of these freaking streaming services, we can't pay for it all. Like, we can't pay for every single streaming service and pay our bills and go see all of your fucking movies in the theater. Like, you've got to take a hit somewhere along the line somewhere. You know? Like, I wish there were more apps that would, and services that would team up together. You know? Like, I love the fact that for the most part, Disney Plus and Hulu is a singular experience. I like that. I like the fact that Max and Discovery are together now. I actually do really like that. We need to have more of that. We need to have like Netflix and Prime together or something, or Paramount and Paramount Plus and Peacock together. Something like that. Bundle your shit together, right? Because, and you don't even have to like make a new app. You don't even have to go to the extent that Max and Discovery did, or like Disney and Hulu did. Like, you can still have them be like separate apps. I mean, hey, if you want to have, try to do an app where it's all together, that would be great. People like me would love that. But bundle shit together. I would spend 12, 14 bucks on a bundle that came with like Netflix and something else, you know, like Netflix and Paramount Plus, or Netflix and Peacock, you know, like I would do that. But things are just getting so expensive, and then people want to wonder why we're not happy with the content we're giving. It's because, well, because it's kind of garbage. Like, look how good Shogun is right now. Look how good Invincible is. I haven't watched Fallout yet, but I'm going to go out on a limb and say it looks pretty fucking good. That is what people want. And until we start getting that, yeah, we're not going to be happy. Because we're not stupid. We can see the difference between Avatar The Last Airbender and Netflix's Avatar The Last Airbender and M. Night Shyamalan's The Last Airbender. They're all the same story, and we can see the differences in all of them. And we can see the pros and the cons in all of them. We're not stupid. Stop force-feeding us bullshit and expecting us to say, yummy, give me some more. You know? We want quality stories. And I don't think that's a lot to ask. So I don't know. I feel like a lot of show runners and a lot of writers and a lot of studios could learn a lot from watching Avatar The Last Airbender. I really do. 'Cause it's really, really good. So that's all I have to say. Thank you for listening. And do you agree? Do you not agree? I'm curious, you know? Like, what are your thoughts on all of this? And I'll see you guys in the next podcast. Peace out.